Good morning and welcome to Harvest Baptist, and thank you for being here. And let's go ahead and before we start, go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And we'll be in the book of Philippians 2:16. Yes, 2:16. But hold your place there, and then let's go to, I was studying these verses. The Lord sometimes guides us in different directions, but I want to stay here, but I want to go back there to emphasize why Paul has this great, why he believes in the Word of God and the power of the Bible. Okay, so let's go to Psalms 119, and I'm going to read from 11 to 16. I'll read a little bit slow, but bear with me. Psalm 119, 11, and 16. And when you have found it, say a hearty amen. All right. And it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statute. I will not forget thy word." This is God's word right here. It's, "I will not forget." So when Paul, and you have to remember, the New Testament was not written yet. And when Paul is writing to the Philippians, he's writing from prison in Rome. Okay? And if you notice, Paul, the book of Philippians, the title is "Rejoice." The key verse would be Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And if you notice, if you read just in those four chapters, Paul mentions rejoice or rejoicing at least 16, if not more, times that word. He makes it, and remember, Paul is writing from prison. And Paul did not let the circumstances around him. He said, "I have learned to be joyful when I have, and I have been joyful when I am in need." See, the joy of Paul was the Lord. And if we notice also when we see Job, he had plenty and all that, but even though everything was stripped off him, he says, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, to him be the glory." How are we when we have, do we give thanks to the Lord? How about when we go into trials? Do we have that same attitude thanking God, or are we complaining? And this is Paul saying here, we have a witness, and that witness is the Bible. This is our witness, okay? And it's the Bible. A powerful witness in Philippians 2:16. And it says, holding forth the word of life. You know what? This is the living Bible. It's alive. I've read it, different books many, many times. But the whole Bible, I'm on my 13th time that I've read it completely from Genesis. I start with the New Testament. I'm about to finish the Old the New Testament and then go to the New. But every time I read it, you say, you know what? You've seen movies, and for more exciting that they may be, I've seen it. You know what's going to happen. But you know what? The Bible is a living word of God, and you might read it. I might give a message on one subject. Pastor Cook can give a message on the same thing. And it will always bring out something different because it's the living Bible, and it always has a message for each and every one of us. So this, it says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice. Look at this. It's just joy, rejoice, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. You know what? I have read this book. And this book has changed my life. It has. If I tell you up, where would you point? Up. If I point down, where would you point? Down. If I say left, go left. You go right. We know the Word of God teaches us exactly what to do and where to go when we have problems, when we have blessings. The Word of God teaches us to go on forward. And you know what? I have believed in the Word of God. When we got saved, it was by faith. For by faith are ye saved through grace, and that not out of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And when I got saved, when you got saved, guess what? As newborn babies, it says study the Word of God. It's like milk to us, okay? I did not know. I don't know about you. I knew it was a Bible. I did not know it had chapters. I did not know that it had a New Testament and Old Testament. But as I became a Christian, I remember when I was truck driving and I was waiting at night to be unloaded. And I would read that Bible they gave me for the first time, a green New Testament. And as I was sitting right there, man, I would read it like if I was drinking a cup of coffee and donuts. And it was just feeling to me. And I kept reading and reading. And I would learn, well, you know what? This is the way I used to live. This is the way God is telling me to go. I was going that way. God says, don't go that way. Go this way. And if you know that the Holy Spirit will always guide us as a gentleman and bring us back to Him. So it's saying, when I get to heaven, Paul is saying, because of God's word, one day I'll stand before Him and I'll thank Him for giving us His word. Okay? So it says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ when He comes for us. I'll thank Him, Lord, for guiding me all the way since the day I believed until the day He comes for me. Lord, thank You for guiding me through Your word. When I was going through hard times here on earth, You told me where to go. When I was having miserable times or happy times, Lord, You told me to be humble. You always told me to pray for others as they're praying for me. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You, Lord. And how many of us have not failed the Lord? We failed Him so many times, but we don't lose our salvation. But through His word, He brings us back. He brings us back. So this is what, and He was saying, yes, I've been, and remember, Paul established the church of Philippians in his second journey. I remember the first journey he took, he went and he went to Iconium, I don't know how to say those names, but the reason he went there is because Paul was from Tarsus, okay? And then when he grew up, they sent him to Jerusalem, and that's where he studied the Bible and all that. And his teacher was Gamaliel, okay? His teacher was Gamaliel. And then when he was going, when Stephen was stoned, he was there holding his cloak right there saying, he was rejoicing. You know what? There's Catholics here or any kind of religion. They can kill you because they want to defend their religion. And I've talked to some Christians, I mean to some Catholic, and me and Pat were talking to them, and they brought us inside, and they were talking, and the lady started boiling some water. We saw, well, maybe she's going to make us coffee. You know what she's going to do? She's going to throw the hot water at us. But the Lord prevented her from doing that. Okay? So, Paul was very zealous for his religion. Okay? And so he was on his way to Damascus to imprisoned the Christians. He was so eager. He went, Damascus was quite a way, and he was willing to go the extra mile to go get the Christians and bring them back and imprison them. And that's when the Lord spoke to him, changed his life. So he goes to Damascus. He can't see, and then they take him, and all of a sudden, Ananias said, there's a man that's going to come, that's looking for you, okay? And Ananias says, Lord, that man is a disaster. He's killed the Christians, and when Philip was stoned, he was there, and I said, let him blind. I mean, can you imagine a man that's giving us a hard time, and he's blind, and he's blind. But God, no, I'm going to use him. You know what? You and I were blind, and God gave us a vision for him. Okay? And he's changed our life, just like he did Paul. And so Paul goes to Arabia for a certain time, then comes back. They want to kill him right there, so they bring him to Jerusalem. And then he goes to Jerusalem, but the brothers are afraid of him. They really don't believe him. Can you imagine a criminal that's so bad, and all of a sudden we say, well, he's come to a church, he accepted Christ, but we're always on the guard. So they were on the guard when Paul was there, and then they were trying to kill him again, so they sent him back to Tarsus, okay? And Barnabas goes and gets him. And they go to Antioch, and then from there he takes his first missionary trip. And that's where he meets Timothy and all them. But he knew a lot of them because he was from that area. And then, so after the first missionary trip, he comes back to Antioch, okay? And then from there he goes and takes the second missionary trip. And he takes along with him Timothy. And they go up, you know, a little bit. They go to Ephesus, but they don't go to Ephesus. They go to the left, and they wind up in Philippi. And there he starts preaching, and that's where he started that church. And he got beat up. He got about 49 whippings right there. I mean, he over there in the first one, he got stoned on the first missionary. Can you imagine on the first missionary trip when he's around and then people start now, and so they stoned him, and then they threw him out thinking he was dead. And can you imagine John and Tony and Sam being around Pastor Cook? Is he dead? Of course I'm not dead. and so he's breathing. Pick him up, and then they go, and that's when they come back on the first missionary trip. But then they go again, and Paul, was his life changed. He was willing to die for the Lord. Are we willing? And not that I'm going to go stand in front of the train, because I'm not. But are we really willing to put our lives for the Lord? And there's the situations where they'll come. It's going to get worse because of the way things are going. We as Christians are going to start suffering like the Philippians were suffering. And so Paul gets about 49 whippings right there. And then he comes back, okay? No, he doesn't come back. He goes up to Thessalonica, and he goes to Berea, and then he comes to Athens and to Corinthians, okay? And he keeps on going, but on his third missionary, his fourth, he is sent to prison, remember? And right there in Rome, he starts writing Paul. I mean, Paul had some liberty in the Roman prison. He was like in a palace, but he could, you know, allow visitors to come in and to go out. That was his first time that he was in prison. It was the second imprisonment that he died, okay? But that one, he wrote many letters to the churches. And so he's writing with joy. And the people in Philippians were having a hard time. They were going through persecution. So he's writing. And so he says that it's holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Everything that you and I have done in our Christian walk with God, and especially pastors, they go through a lot. You know what? That a lot of times pastors can be the most loneliest person or people in the whole congregation. Why? Because sometimes we think that pastors are super holy. And we're talking, and, oh, here comes a pastor. No, they're human just like you and I. And they need help. And we need to pray for one another. And Paul was saying, I have been an example. I like when pastors are an example to the flock. And when pastors go through trials, and they are telling you, and they are telling you because of experience, that they have not ran in vain. First of all, we believe in the word of God. It's changed our lives. And we are working and working. And we are laboring together. This is what Paul was trying to tell them. That we have a faithful witness. And that faithful witness is the word of God. Okay? Now, what makes our light so effective in this perverse world? Or what makes our witnessing? In other words, the word, I'm sorry, hold on, everything's going wild here. Okay, what makes our light so effective in this perverse world? In other words, how effective can I be when I witness to the world or to the unbelievers? Well, again, how do I witness to them? If it was my word, I'd have a hard time convincing them. So, who are you? Okay, but it's again, like I'm saying, it's not our message that we are taking to the world. It's God's word that we are taking to them. And so, it's not what, look at on 2, it says, notice what it says in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. So when we witness to people, it's not what we think or what they think. It's what God says. We can never go wrong. Okay? It's not what what I believe. It's not what you believe. It's what God says. And so we can go to people and say, thus says the Lord. And when you say, thus says the Lord, you and I can never go wrong when we say, thus says the Lord. Why is it wrong for me to do this or that? Because this is what the Lord says. You know what? Well, if I only drink a little, it's not too bad. Well, that's my opinion. And then I could look for verses that say, well, Paul is telling Timothy to drink a little bit of wine, but it was for medicine. It wasn't, okay, when you have a cold, do you take NyQuil? We could. Does it have alcohol? It does. Okay. But as a medication, we're taking it. Oh, no, I'm not going to be a holy rotor. No, we have that. And this is how Timothy, because back then there was something wrong with the water and he had stomach problems. So he said, take a little bit of wine for thy infirmity, or thy sickness. Okay, so I can take God's word and twist it a little, but that's not what, that's me. That could be you, but what does the Lord say for me to do? It's so clear. Which way is up? Which way is down? And so simple. Now, if we don't want to obey, that's another thing. But this is what Paul was telling them. Okay? Thus saith the Lord. So when we witness to the world of sin, okay, just like they witnessed to us of sin, of death, of judgment, and of hell. I remember they would talk to me about hell. Say, don't. I know I'm not going to heaven because I wasn't saved. And I didn't want to go to hell. But you know what? The Holy, when people sends people to you, the word of God never comes back void. Okay? And so, when you witness to them, there might be a silent. You know what they're talking about? Football, they're talking about this, and all, they're talking about that. And all of a sudden, you mention Jesus, and there's a silent. People don't want to hear. But then, when you witness to them, there's going to be a silent, or there might be a response. Hey, but why does God say this? And we start asking questions, okay? Or there might be a rejection on the other person's part. I don't want, and we've all ran through that, where, well, there's a silent, or where they want to know more, or they either don't want, but they know that it's the word of God. You have that authority. You and I have that authority to speak to them, because this is God's word and it can never go wrong. And when you and I speak to people about what God says, he has given us the authority to let them know that there's a hell. And if they die, they're going to go to hell. And if they repent, they are going to get to go to heaven. Okay? It's plain and simple. Okay? But again, we have to remember that it's not what we say, it's thus says the Lord. Look at Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. And I'm going to read it from the book, small letter, so bear with me. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth but that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing thereto I sent it. Okay? And then Jeremiah says, The people, again, this is God's word, okay? The people that have a dream, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has the word of God, see, I can tell you whatever I want to. The prophets sometimes were wrong. But he that has the word of God, okay, it says, he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff and the wheat? Again, the world and the people of God, says the Lord. Is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Yes, we live in a perverse world, okay? We live in a perverse world, but we have been given a powerful witness, and that powerful witness is the Bible. That we can witness to others. Victor and Doris to the Lord. A prisoner had just come out of prison. I didn't know he was just been released, but it was Christmas, and I took him home because they didn't have a place, and it was real cold. So I said, "Listen, I don't have no money. I don't have a lot of stuff, but you know what, I can take you home and I can give you room for a night." And I took him home, and the next morning we got up and Pat made them breakfast, him and Doris. Big old guy Carrie look small, all full of tattoos, and my sons were saying, "Why did you bring him in? The Lord just told me to bring him in, and I did it." And I, you know what I did? I opened the Bible. And he was sitting down, I was standing up, and he was my same height. He's just so big. And as I opened the Word of God, he started sweating, and he said, "Enoch, I've heard people witness to me or talk to me about God, but you and my grandma are the only ones that have opened the Word of God and showed me from the Word of God." And he said, "I'd be a fool if I don't receive Christ as my Savior. But wait, I'll be back." And he went into the bedroom where his wife was. Come here. And he brought her and set her down and said, "Tell her exactly what you told me from the Bible." And they both accepted the Lord. You know what? Because of the witness that I gave them, the Bible, the Word of God, they came to know Christ. So, since the Bible is a very powerful tool, we need to use it. And then I'm going to finish with this, and it says, "I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always and above all the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good, strong staff. To the one who sits in black gloom, I am a glorious light. To those who stoop beneath heavy burden, I am sweet rest. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am a healing balm. To the discouraged, I whisper a glad message of hope. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor, sure and steadfast. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am a cool, soft hand resting upon the fevered brow. O child of men, to best defend me, just use me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the message that Paul has given us through your Holy Spirit, through your word, that we do not have to worry of how we can witness. It's when we start witnessing on our own, when we have your word, and we don't have to defend it, the Bible will defend itself. Father, use us through the Holy Spirit. Guide us through your word. And teach us, Lord, how to be more like you. Thank you for your word, Father. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen.